The following program is rated TV-MAL. It contains strong language and is intended only for mature audiences.
TBS, America's number one independent television network, presents the following sports exclusive.
You're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And check out every episode of the show at basicallysports.tumblr.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike.
And this is Andy, and you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Hey, garbage truck, right out of the gate. How you like that?
Nice. Right on time.
You ask, we deliver, folks. Yeah, here we are after the big Super Wild Card weekend, and we were discussing going down internet search rabbit holes before we came on. That took us to some strange places, as you could imagine.
Yeah. Well, Super Wild Card weekend, not quite over.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, we got to make this quick for you tonight, Zach. We don't want to have you having to watch the game while you're trying to talk to us.
When does the game start again? 8 o'clock?
5:15? Yeah. 5:15 Pacific, so.
Yeah. So we got about an hour, hour and a half, we'll say.
There well, yeah, it's nice. I'll duck out if I need to. I just I'm not enjoying the Monday night of this all. I wish this was yesterday.
Yeah,
I'm pulling for your Rams, if only because a Rams victory means the Cowboys will be the only team to lose at home.
Yeah, go ahead, Andy.
I was watching. I missed a fair amount of the football yesterday and Saturday, and I texted you guys
to explain why.
you see, I got distracted.
Yeah, it's funny. I got distracted yesterday too by the I don't know what happened.
I enjoyed your COVID medicine.
I was self medicating.
Yeah,
and
based
watching,
on a Bloomberg study, by the way.
Was watching original Unsolved Mysteries episodes, and it was fantastic. And I totally forgot
the Robert Stack Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah, well, of course. I don't watch any of the current Netflix batch is pretty good, but the previous ones between Stack and the new one are crap.
Wow.
But
yeah, I can see how that would happen.
Yeah. So, I don't know, any unsolved mysteries that were particularly captivating?
The mystery of why the Cowboys keep thinking they should have hope is unsolved. I was watching because I was
I'm imagining Robert Stack talking about Dak Prescott.
The Cowboys' offense, once potent in the 1990s, suddenly disappeared, and no one knows why. Well, I was watching it and I was trying to think both like in terms of what was happening in the highlights and it was just a condensed game and the product in the field and actually X's and O's and stuff. And I realized two things is that the Dallas Cowboys, and this is statistically backed up, I'm sure, they are the epitome of a above average, mediocre football team.
Yeah.
They hired a coach who is the epitome of an above average football coach. They have a quarterback who plays like who's getting paid like a top five quarterback, but plays like a top 10 quarterback. And how are these things all supposed to add up to winning playoff games? Like they are absolutely 100% built to get to the playoffs and fade out.
Well,
and
they're built to get to the playoffs in that shit-tastic division they call the NFC East.
Well, there is one stat that kind of backs up what you're talking about, Andy. There are two teams in NFL history to have scored 500 points in the regular season and lose in the wild card round. The 2000 Rams and the 2021-22 Cowboys.
And those 2000 Rams was Mike Martz.
That was the year before they lost to the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And the year after they had won the Super Bowl before that.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's outrage in Dallas. People are, I'm sure they're just as frustrated.
Greg, you sweet summer child.
Well, okay.
Greg, you see, the referee should have got out of the way, Greg.
Okay. So let's talk about that final play.
Let me make my point real quick here, because I just want to, these people are supposed to be, the Cowboys fans are supposed to be well-versed in football. They understand how everything works. They're, they're the smart fans and all that. You can't look at that team and think it had a chance to go to the Super Bowl, can you?
Not only,
what are you upset about?
They've been sold that bill of goods for several years.
I'm going to say this.
That's on them.
I'm gonna say this. I mentioned this before the show started, but we all thought the Saints fans were annoying after that NFC Championship game against the Rams.
Oh wow!
Oh man, Cowboys fans are really going for it. They are really, really trying to grab that brass ring.
You know what the difference is?
Being the most annoying fan base in football.
Here's the start and the end of it. Should the linesman or the umpire should have gotten there quicker? Maybe. Should Dak have gotten out of the way? Maybe.
But
here's the point. With 14 seconds left, don't run a 12-yard quarterback draw with the ultimate hope being that you can spike the ball with 1 second remaining on the clock.
Yeah. The logic was there. I understood what they were doing, but like,
sure. If you're gonna do it shorter, or do like a he could pass or something.
Yeah, could he not see the clock from where he was running? I mean, could he not look?
I think he knew the clock, but he ran too far.
He should have been able to see it.
I think he knew, because from what I understand, to run that exact same play as it was run, you actually need 18 full seconds. Because the thing that ultimately screwed them in the end, they made a substitution, I guess. That was on the previous delay of game that they had. Never mind. Okay. But still, it was a thing of they had already dealt with this earlier in the game where they know the umpire has to spot the football, and they know how long that's going to take. So one, you have to run your play with enough time to know that that's going to happen, and two, you have to make sure to give the ball to him and get out of the goddamn way.
Right.
And so everything about the execution, like the idea, isn't terrible.
I have a question.
It's not the best idea. You could have done something else, and you executed it to the worst degree in the simplest way.
I have a question though. All that is valid. This is my question. If any one of us is coaching that team, would you rather have one shot at the end zone with a second left on the clock, or would they have 18 or 14 when it started?
Yeah, 14 seconds.
If you're fast, you might get three shots. You're guaranteed two. Which would you rather go with?
I mean, they're going to be longer passes, but you get two to three of them. So I would have gone with the 2 to 3 shots.
And they're only 12 yards longer. It's not like we're talking 20 or 30 yards. It was 12 yards.
Yeah.
And they were already at, what, the 40, somewhere in there, roughly?
Yeah, I'm pulling up the play-by-play.
The thing that stands out to me, well, there's two. One, if Dak Prescott had just slid 5 yards earlier, you have enough time.
Probably, yeah.
Two, if you go back and watch, after Dak slides, he hands the ball to his center.
Yep.
The referee has to set the ball.
Right.
As soon as he went down, he should have handed it to the official, and he didn't. So
14 seconds left. This was coming out of a timeout, so they had planned this whole thing.
Yeah,
Mike McCarthy at his finest.
So coming out of not even McCarthy. I assume that's Kellen Moore calling the play, right?
I'm sorry, but
one of the rumors I heard was that Kellen Moore called it to get McCarthy fired.
They were at the 41, and he ran 17 yards down to the 24. So it's like, that's not a bad idea, but you don't need to run 17. Run 12. Run exactly. 15,
I stand by. I would rather have three. You know, two, maybe three shots at the end zone from where I'm at, as opposed to getting closer and having one. I'm sure there's analytics out there that will tell you the odds in either direction, but to me, the analytics
also told the Chargers coach to call a timeout.
Yeah, so. Right. But the currency to me at that point is attempts, the number of plays you have, not like let's do this and go for one. That's not me.
Oh, sorry. That is me. I will put my phone on silent.
No, all right.
We actually have a GTOV matchup between my text notifications and Mike's. This will be great. I just think that if it were me, I would rather have three shots because let's be honest. I mean, you know, even 12 or 17 yards closer, whatever he got, doesn't improve the chances. I mean, does it improve the chances that much that you go, okay, now we're in really good shape where we've got a 95% shot of hitting a Hail Mary? I don't think it does.
I mean, the only reason I could think they would want to get in that specific range is because they had a play designed for that specific range that they felt more confident about. But at the same time, that's beggars being choosers. You know, like at some point in football games in this situation, you need to just throw it up and just classic Hail Mary. But the thing is,
maybe too, they might have overreacted to what San Francisco was doing, because before they even called the timeout, San Francisco was lining up where they didn't have anybody in the middle of the field. They put all their defenders on the sidelines. to prevent them from going out of bounds. And I think they overreacted and said, oh, they're going to give us all this room. We're going to have plenty of time to do this and get extra yardage to make a better shot. But
I'll say
if the middle of the field's still open, that means that it's also open for passing.
I'll say this too. I don't know that either one of those teams looked that great yesterday. I mean, I know the Niners
The Niners looked really good in the first half.
By the time the second half came around, it was like the Niners kept trying to give the game up, and the Cowboys were like, no, we insist that you win.
Well, I mean, the amount of penalties is just disgraceful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the sign of a bad coach when you got a lot of guys who are...
Mike McCarthy!
Well, again, you know, above average coach.
Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, I mean, the 49ers aren't much better. And it also, on a side note, bring back the damn dazzle pants, please. For the love of God, this Matt Gold shit sucks.
Yeah, I agree.
But
I was just going to say that, like, the Niners, this team is – I don't know what to make of them because one minute they look like the 88 49ers. Really, really good. And the next minute they look like the 07 49ers and went 5-11. And they can be in the course of a game, you will see both those teams show up. And I don't know what that means.
Well,
yes, I am keenly aware. And this is why I would like to lose.
let me explain it for you, Greg. Their head coach is the 28-3 guy.
True.
Yeah. Well, it's like the Niners ran the ball extremely well, especially in the first half. And especially when they give it to Deebo Samuel in space. He's a freak, and like I actually hate that guy. I think he's kind of a prick, but he is extremely talented and athletic.
He's fast.
He's one of the best rushing wide receivers I've ever seen. It's kind of crazy.
Well, I love him because I think I got him in the fourth round of my fantasy football draft this year, which is amazing to me because it was kind of like, oh, this guy will be okay. He'd make some plays here and there, and then he became Deebo Samuel. I'm like, well, shit, I really scored big on that. But
he.
He's a guy. Well,
that's how they dominated the early part of the game was running, and then Jimmy Garoppolo decided to go become Jimmy Garoppolo again.
He goes between being like Joe Montana and Elvis Gerbach, and it'll happen within the stretch of 10 minutes.
The thing about Jimmy Garoppolo is that Jimmy Garoppolo is the type of quarterback who, when the game is over, you look at the stat line, you go, "Oh, he played pretty well," but. Do you want him to be the guy you have to rely on for a game-winning drive? No.
Yeah, 16-25, 172, no touchdowns, interception.
But that's he's. I guess I don't even want to say streaky because he's not really streaky. He's adequate with moments of pretty good.
He's adequate with moments of pretty good, and he's never gonna be that lights out quarterback who wins you the game in the final 2 minutes.
Yeah,
probably not.
I think the other thing to note with the Niners is their offensive and defensive fronts have been extremely good over the last stretch. And again, I saw it last week with the Rams, and you saw it in this game where, like, again, they're able to run the ball very well, and then up front they were very good until the second half when Bosa goes out and Farmer goes out, and now all of a sudden the Cowboys start to come back because the Niners aren't getting that same push up front on the defensive end.
Well, I know Bosa was out with concussion protocol. Yeah. Now, have we heard anything more about that? Is he going to be able to play Saturday? I hope not.
No idea. I assume they'll do everything. And because of the playoffs, they'll even fudge it a little bit to say that he'll probably be okay.
Yeah, if you can count to four, they're going to put him out there.
Exactly, yeah.
Because, you know, the NFL is all about the safety.
But the other thing that made this game as crazy as it was, too, was that it was the Nickelodeon game.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, my God.
I love it even more in the second half than I did in the first. I don't know why that happened, but it did.
Can we have all the games being the Nickelodeon game now? Because that was...
No, because that would ruin the specialty of it.
I suppose. I just loved it.
Okay. What we need is just once a year, pick the wild card game where you know the starting quarterback of the losing team is going to make it fun. And so that he can become the MVP, as is tradition.
Well, I was
Andy, you really need to like publicize this patch.
Yeah,
online to get some sales down in Dallas.
There's a whole market in Central Texas for you to tap into.
I saw I had a bunch of Twitter activity regarding that the other day, and I was like, maybe some people are gonna I mean, I'm not gonna. First of all, I don't fuck Cowboys fans. You know, these fans, they're all front running bad bandwagoners, and they get all pissed off because they signed up for the Cowboys thinking that oh these guys win every year, and then they realize that fuck they don't. They actually suck. They just break my heart every year. It's like, yeah, well, fuck you, man. That's what you get. They won in the 90s, and now you're saddled with them. No pun intended. Anyway, yeah,
the longest streak of most consecutive playoff appearances without reaching the NFC title game in NFL history.
They're kind of like the latter Braves, you know, like the Braves that we just tossed
on the division. I actually have some stats here. So if we're going to look at the last 25 years, the last quarter of a century, playoff wins in the last 25 years.
I saw this, yeah.
Jake Blome, 5. Trent Dilfer, 5. Yeah. Mark Sanchez, 4. Brad Johnson, 4.
Most better people give him credit for, but go ahead.
Colin Kaepernick, 4. Dallas Cowboys, 3.
I'm sorry.
And Jake Malone retired how long ago?
When you're behind Trent Dilfer, come on, man. Yeah. I mean, but that's the thing with this team.
Is Trent Dilfer the universally agreed worst quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl? Like,
Let me think. Yeah, I would say
him
so.
Or Flacco.
Flacco was better than Dilfer. I'm not giving Flacco a lot of credit, but he was better than Dilfer.
Flacco to me is just the throw deep, get a PI guy.
But have the Ravens, what have they won, twice now?
Dilfer and one with Flacco.
Yeah, they've got to be the team that like has never won that's won two Super Bowls with shitty quarterbacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you think back, I'm trying to think of who would be the worst after those two.
I don't know. You probably have to start going into like 70s and 80s Super Bowls that
you were talking like Staubach and Bradshaw and Ken Stabler. Back then, yeah, you know. So the 80s, it was Montana and – Phil Sims, Jeff Hostetler
to win a Super Bowl. Yeah,
who was the quarterback for the Buccaneers? Was it Brad Johnson?
Brad Johnson. Yeah, and he was actually better than people give him credit for. He wasn't bad. He was pretty good with the Vikings. He was pretty good with the Bucks too. So he's. I know they like to make fun of him, but he was a solid player.
My answer is Tom Brady.
Yeah, by far the worst. No argument here.
You don't think Brad Johnson is?
Nick Foles. Nick Foles.
Nick, there we go.
Conversation, yeah.
There we go.
But well, I don't think Brad Johnson is a bad quarterback. I just think he's like the epitome of just a guy.
Right. He's a quarterback named Brad Johnson. That's all I need to say.
It's like he's a person that Madden created at a certain point, like computer generated quarterback. And it's like, oh, hello, I am QB man, Brad Johnson.
Right.
If I recall, didn't Brad Johnson's head just look like a cube? Like he had a weird cube head?
It may have. I don't remember. I can't remember. I remember he wore a cool face mask. He had one of those old school, like Dan Marino, 3-bar quarterback face masks that I always liked that you don't really see anymore. Yeah. So that's what I remember about him. And that he was a little bit better than people give him credit for. He was, who would I compare him with that you guys?
Try to think. I remember Brad Johnson. He was fine.
Yeah, he was all right. I mean, he wasn't anybody you're going to go, wow, he's no Ken Anderson, I'll tell you that.
Who was that quarterback for the Saints for a few years?
Bobby Hebert?
No. This was in the like early 2000s.
Aaron Brooks. Good.
Aaron Brooks. Aaron,
yeah, kind of reminds me of that just in terms of like what he represents.
Yeah, and Bobby Hebert is a good comparison too to Brad Johnson. Like solid.
Aaron Brooks, the only thing I ever remember about Aaron Brooks is I remember watching a game with him and he purposefully and deliberately threw the ball directly backwards, like overhand backwards.
Yeah.
This wasn't like a lateral. He literally turned around and threw the football behind him. It was pretty funny.
You know, I'll tell you who Brad Johnson is by today's standards. Ryan Tannehill. That's who I compare him to, roughly.
I guess so. That's fair, I suppose.
Yeah, as Dennis might be a little bit better,
but you're in the same kind of the same category.
As Dennis says, game manager.
All right. I don't know about
like,
that. But
I'd say he's more like prime Andy Dalton when Dalton was like on the latter
that's
years.
That's a good one too. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Okay. I think Johnson was a little bit better. Well, I don't know. I don't remember. I remember Johnson had some good years with Minnesota, and then he took that Bucks team and won the Super Bowl. So somebody look up his stats. One of you guys in the chat, look up his stats and tell us what we're dealing with here. I don't know why. See, this is what we're talking about before the show started.
Rabbit hole.
We're down a Brad Johnson rabbit hole at this point.
I mean, but the dude's ears
are ringing. He's like,
we're literally the first people in history to do a Brad Johnson rabbit hole.
We have just spent more time on Brad Johnson on a podcast than anybody in the history
of podcasts. We've probably talked more about Brad Johnson than ESPN did the day after the Bucks won the Super Bowl.
Right, exactly. Brad Johnson.
This could be the first. Well, it's not going to be the first, but the first podcast where anyone has discussed a Bengals playoff win.
Yes,
I'm sure it's already happened.
But among the first.
I do think, guys, I'm in the running for sending the first text ever about a Bengals win because I mean
that took me a minute. I was like,
man.
You and everybody else.
I know, but I think I'm in the running. I bet you I'm in the top 500 for sure. Because I'm watching. I'm like, okay, the minute and like the second that the game was over, boom, off it went. I probably should have cheated and sent it out before they did the kneel downs and all that. But fair.
I will give credit to the Raiders for hanging around, but the Bengals were clearly the better team in that game.
Oh, by a long shot, yeah.
Good for you, Cincinnati. That's awesome.
Hey, yeah, but that's great.
Well, hey, look at this. Look at this. You finally fix the fucking uniforms and good things happen.
Yeah. No, they didn't. They went out there yesterday with their fucking orange.
Yes, I get it. They wore the wrong pants, but compared to the previous set.
Obvious upgrade, but I mean, like, it's from the top, from their helmet to the waist, they look fantastic, and then from the waist down, it looked like a different uniform. Mm. I just wanted to run out there and just strangle whoever makes these decisions. It's like black socks.
That would be Nike. That would be Nike because making just a pair of white pants with an orange stripe with black tiger stripes in it was apparently beyond them. So
they couldn't justify it with a bunch of nonsense.
It's in the uniform set.
But they have to have a reason for it. There has to be a connection to Cincinnati because you know Cincinnati overrun with Bengal tigers in the summer. I mean, you don't even want to go there. And that's just the Nike's got to find a way to work that in, and it's actually
hilarious because like the stadium decor is all jungle themed, right? Because it's like you know the Bengals, like tigers, right. Jungles, but then it's Cincinnati in the middle of January, so it's cold as fuck.
I don't know, man. I thought it was cool. It was a cool aesthetic there, though. It just looked like a football game.
Well, the Bengals always have like among like the top tier end zone designs in the NFL.
Yeah, I thought it looked pretty good. Of course, me being the fan of all things old school, I would have much preferred to see them roll out there in like the Boomer Esiason era uniforms. That would have looked fantastic.
No.
But I think that what they wore yesterday compared to what they used to wear looked pretty darn good.
What about the helmet that just said Bengals on it?
Oh, I see. I loved that thing, but
you are the minority there, Greg.
The other guys on the boards, believe it or not, that like them too, but I'll be the first to admit that I like that because it was what they wore when I was a kid. I know it's not a great uniform. I won't even make the argument.
If you can make your uniform look like a tiger... Make it look like a tiger. But
they aren't tigers. That's always been my argument with this. They aren't real tigers. We all get that, right?
But they could look like a tiger.
Nah.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
If you're a team that's like if the San Jose Sharks, for example, Greg, they should go around just wearing shirts that say sharks rather than putting like shark fins on the shoulders.
I admitted that I only liked it because it was a uniform I remember as a kid.
Okay.
That's all. I don't think it's better than what they wear now. I can like it without saying it's better than what they have now. I think it was fine for the time.
Buffalo Bills should remove the buffalo from their helmets and just say Bill.
Yeah, just Bills. Everything just to make it a roundel with the word in the middle. That's it. That's every team. Even the Browns have to do that now. Although Mike did design a nice logo for the Browns, I saw with the rabbit.
I didn't design that. That was an Etsy thing.
The team doesn't lean into that. But anyway, well, they seem
to the Bengals.
Rabbit holes. Literally about rabbits.
Speaking of the Bills.
I got to say one more thing about the Cowboys game because I thought this was maybe the greatest Mike McCarthy thing I've ever seen. They get a first down on a punt, fake punt, right?
Yeah.
And the announcers are like, when they're still out there, it's out there. Mike McCarthy, we got a first down with our punting unit. Fuck it. Let's leave them out there and see what they can do on offense. That's what it looked like. It was like, why are they still out there, dude?
They were trying to draw something out of them. Yeah.
I don't understand. It was like, you just got the first down. No one thinks you're going to punt again. Really?
No, but it's like, maybe they throw it again and you're confusing them, and you draw a penalty. Yeah. But the problem again was like, they forgot the fact that if you sub out all your guys, they have to sub out all their guys. And then,
right.
Was that when they got the delay game, or was that
almost, I think they almost got one. I think they barely
happened on a later drive where they literally made a substitution late. And then the umpire was like, no, hold on. We have to wait the amount of time to let the other team change their guys out. And then they got delay a game because the umpire was standing there with his hand on the center's butt, just like, nope, can't snap it yet.
Well, the officiating was just off the charts good this weekend, I've got to say. Unbelievable.
But, wow.
Do we want to talk about the other AFC Saturday game?
Well, I think we were going to go to the Bills before I stepped in there. So whoever had the Bills comment, let's go.
Well, so the Bills, they put up the very first perfect offensive day in NFL history.
Really?
No field goals, no punts, no turnovers on downs, 7 drives, 7 touchdowns. First time an offense has ever done that.
Wow. Well, it couldn't have happened to a nice like team.
Ever, apparently, which is crazy.
And you remember, I'm sure, Zach, you heard all the talk about going into that game was going to be cold.
And we said it was like -6.
And the Bills are going to have a tough time, and that gives the Patriots a shot. The Patriots had a shot, and then the game started, and that was pretty much the end of their shot.
I mean,
that's not a good football team. I'm sorry, it's not. I think all of our concern about the Patriots was probably not necessary, because I mean, I'm not saying they're not going to get better, but they aren't back, if that's what we were.
Well, I can tell you one thing. You know, Mac Jones is no Tom Brady.
That's McCorkle Jones, by the way.
McCorkle. That can't be his real name.
His name is Michael McCorkle Jones.
Really?
Straight up.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, he's one of those guys that not only goes by his middle name, but a nickname for his middle name.
Yeah. So yeah, it's McCorkle. If you're gonna call him,
I could just call him Mike.
I'm one of those guys.
Mike Jones?
Oh.
Sorry, Zach.
Andy. No.
Yeah. Well, I didn't make the call.
Well, his middle name isn't like Mickey. What's your Andy Oracle or something? I mean, come on.
Yeah, Andy, what's your real name?
William Andrew.
Oh, okay. See, that's fine.
Go by Andy.
Yeah, my friend Rob.
Hey, so you don't have anything weird in there.
I'm gonna call you Bill from now on.
Oh yeah, you'd be the first one to do that. First one. No,
never happened before, right?
McCorkle. It's got to be like a family thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, sure, it's a...
Reginald McCorkle Jones IV.
I don't know where. I was listening to a podcast, and I heard him go, "I'm McCorkle Jones," and I went, okay, that's funny. And then I looked it up. I said, oh, that's actually his real middle name. Okay. But yeah, I mean, Mac Jones. Anyway.
But anyway, the Patriots losing is good for everyone. And I saw something earlier today, the AFC... The winners of the AFC games, the markets are the smallest they've all collectively been to move on to the next round.
Good.
And it's excellent. I was very happy to read that. I'm sure the NFL's not terribly pleased.
Well, we got these Titan matchups of Cincinnati at Nashville and Buffalo at Kansas City.
I love it.
Whatever, man. Those are damn good matchups.
This is good old fashioned AFL football, right?
Yeah, I think it was a thing our old friend, I think it was Ray Sox on Twitter, mentioned that it's one of those things where the NFC gets a disproportionate amount of coverage sometimes because it's New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, Dallas, Washington, LA, and then the AFL was formed as like a rival league, and they didn't go to those big cities. They were in all the tiny towns. And even the ones they got in the merger were Pittsburgh and the Colts and Cleveland. And so it's like they're left with the Buffaloes and the Kansas Cities, not New York and St. Louis.
And their New York and LA teams are like the bad New York and LA teams.
Jets, and then you had 1 year of the Chargers in LA, and then they moved to San Diego.
And
right?
Now they're back, and now they're the LA Chargers again, and nobody cares.
I think more people cared about them the first time around than they do this time.
Mm-hmm. And even when it was in the Bay Area, the NFC gets San Francisco, and the AFC gets Oakland. It's playing out to like a funny degree here with Cincinnati, the Titans. It's not like Nashville's nowhere, but the Titans aren't exactly like a big name team. Whereas I think, despite being Buffalo, New York, people are fans of the Buffalo Bills because of the run they had,
right?
And the Chiefs are not nobody. I mean, they got the most high profile quarterback in the league right now, right?
I think that, you know, the Chiefs do pretty well because they get a lot of fans from like Iowa and
right. They covered a big swath in the middle of the country.
Nebraska and what's that other
right.
one?
Right. They got the benefit that the Cardinals did in the old days where they were the only team around baseball. For hundreds and hundreds of miles.
Right, exactly. Same kind of deal.
Right.
What was I going to say? I forget. Oh, anyway, to you know, kind of put a bow on that. That's why the NFC package is so much more valuable to a network than the AFC package is. I mean, that was why CBS, like Fox, when they were doing the first rights deal, they didn't want the AFC. They wanted the NFC because they knew that's where, if they were really going to be legit, it had to be the NFC because they get New York, they get Washington, they get Chicago.
Dallas,
yeah. Philly, yeah, that's why they wanted it. And I don't know. You know what? I say move the Packers to the AFC and let's just like make all the small teams play there. You know,
I mean, yeah, the Packers really are an outlier, especially because yeah. they're not Milwaukee. They're
they're this like weird remnant from when the NFL was just in a bunch of small Midwestern towns.
Yeah, they should move the Bears back to Decatur.
Yeah, like the Decatur Staleys and the Canton Bulldogs and the Green Bay Packers.
The Dalton Triangles,
Providence Steamrollers.
Yeah.
God, Decatur is a shithole, by the way. I don't send any team back to Decatur. Well, you drive into Decatur, you drive through like a mile and a half of factories that are just shitting out the smell of refuse and pollution.
The golden age of America.
Oh yeah,
sounds a lot like Canton.
It's a real shame the Titans don't have they don't look better because then it would be an immaculate.
You know what they should do? For
their shoulders are swords, guys.
They need to go back to being the Oilers. Be the Tennessee Oilers, damn it.
I think they've got...
I mean, they sort of looked like that when they had the light blue and the white helmet, but no, they wanted to be the fucking Toronto Argonauts for God knows why.
No joke. Earlier this year, I was watching... I was in a restaurant, and they had a Titans game on TV, and I glanced at it for a second, and I thought I was watching the Argonauts for a split second before my brain like clicked in to it being the Titans.
You know, if they win the Super Bowl and those things this year, they're never going to go away, ever. It's just going
to
be awful.
I'm going to be honest. I don't think we have to worry about that.
Yeah, probably not. But just in case, just keep that in the back of your mind. We'll put that on a shelf. Just put it up there that we put it out in the universe.
I don't know. We talked a bit about how like there's no real like juggernaut team that's a surefire thing this year. But I would put a fair number of teams ahead of Tennessee as I don't see Tennessee being the last team standing from the collection we have left.
I think when it comes to the AFC, the real AFC title game is going to be next week when the Bills go back to Kansas City because the Chiefs, God damn it, they looked exactly like themselves. It was so funny because it's like it was a long day of watching football and that game was starting off so slow. And then the Steelers scored and it was like, all right, this game kind of looks like it's going to be a trash pile, so I'm going to go do something else. Literally, make some snacks, pull up the Netflix or the HBO Max, whatever we were watching. And right before I pressed play on whatever we were going to watch, I pulled up the score and it was 21-7 Chiefs all of a sudden. I was like, what the hell happened? And sure enough, in a span of what, like 4.5 minutes, they scored three touchdowns.
So the Steelers offense was useless that entire game.
Yeah.
The defense was playing lights out for the first quarter. But as soon as they started to break, as soon as the Chiefs figured them out, it was done.
Yeah, they did run out of fireworks again. They've done this more than once. Why don't they like plan for that? Officially, the end of Big Ben. Right, he's not coming back to like do one tour duty with the Texans or something, right?
No.
Well, that would be hilarious if he was if he went to the Texans. He found religion. He finds religion and goes to the Texans.
You see those throws he was making yesterday? They were lollipops, everything. Just it was awful. Well,
He's got a long. I mean, I don't know how Pittsburgh necessarily feels about him. I think I read it's pretty fairly conflicted, but like he's got a long retirement ahead of him where he can do ads for local liquor stores and right. he's going to be the guy in all the local Andy, pregame.
I got to find it, but I disagree about his reputation. You saw the NBC word cloud. He's revered as a family man and things of that nature.
Is he?
Funny, that's not how
the alleged rapist of a porn addiction.
did you see the word cloud that I'm talking about?
I did. It was fucking hilarious.
Okay, here it is. So the word cloud starts with family man, all-time great, communicative, Hall of Famer, gutsy, consistent, toughness, strong, loyal, competitor, growth, big, clutch, leader, grit, world champion, authentic, smart.
Smart?
Smart? Yeah.
That was, you know,
that was the NBC Sports word cloud, not alleged sex offender. Or,
where do they source the words?
It doesn't say, and I didn't hear.
You know, they screamed the shit out of it.
I'm sure they like asked all the teammates or something. I don't know where it came from.
This thing was shit out by a PR firm.
You know, the tweet that I found this from said, I noticed that consent wasn't in the word cloud.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, if they actually had a word cloud source from a, you know, open to the public or whatever, they probably screened, you know, rape. And, you know, things like that.
You mean
like
the same public that voted Dak Prescott the MVP?
Alex, I agree.
I don't know why the hell word clouds are still a thing, much less, like, as part of the, like, promotional.
There's a certain segment of people who are in love with word clouds for some reason. I don't know why.
Another one that somebody wanted to throw in was helmetless motorcycle rider.
Oh, right, yeah.
Remember that whole thing?
I got no comment on that with regard to the helmet.
Well, but remember there was like a whole bitching and moaning session for a whole summer about like he rode his motorcycle without his helmet and they got to put it in his contract. And
I remember he got in an accident. Like hit a car or something, fucked his bike up bad. But he rides a little sports bikes. Those guys are a different breed. They're way more daredevil than us Harley rider guys are. He's got an interesting. I don't want to call it a legacy because I guess it is, but I don't want to like make it bigger than it is. But
I mean, he's gonna be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's gonna be a Hall of Famer. That was what I was trying to get to. Is that
really?
Yeah, I think so.
Two Super Bowls, plenty of touchdown. Like he's got all the stats, longevity.
Yep.
Steelers quarterback.
The NFL does not have a off the field clause like the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame does. So you're supposed to just judge them on the content of their game and not their character. And you get those shills like Peter King and other fuck sticks like him, and they're just going, "Oh, he's a great football player. Who gives a shit?" You know, and that's how he gets in.
I get it, but I feel like four or five years he's just been kind of existing.
He's been toast the last 4 or 5 years. He's been gone. He hasn't been Big Ben.
Oh yeah.
For 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But again, the thing that everyone will always attribute to Mike Tomlin and to him, never a losing season as a Steeler.
Yeah.
And like the big thing, the things that people attach to him are Super Bowl champion twice, never a losing season. And that's
if he did this with the Jag or something, then nobody, it's all because of the fucking franchise. That franchise.
Yeah. Oh yeah, sure. It's the Steelers.
It's a big Steelers thing. Whatever.
Yeah. We're like they've only had three coaches and maybe five quarterbacks, and you know. That's the end of it.
I'm trying to think since Chuck Knoll took over in what was it, 69 or 70? I don't remember the exact year. I want to say they've had maybe since he took over three losing seasons, period.
I can look that up.
I mean,
Tomlin's never had one. I think Cowher had one, and I think Knoll had one. Maybe two.
I mean, yeah, okay. Steelers are a great football organization. I get that. I appreciate and respect that. But I don't know. I Pittsburgh is weird. I don't know. I don't care for them. There's something eerie about them. I like Pittsburgh. Like it's an okay city. Just something. Yeah. Something just, it's just eerie. I think it all comes back to like Penn State stuff. towards the resistance. There's like really being big fans and liking and supporting the team, and then there's whatever's going on. I don't think the Steelers quite have that level, like an intense level of obsession, but there is sort of a weird too. Like there's a weird reverence that I that feels very Packers like to me that I don't like.
Oh, I see. Now, having dealt with both, I can tell you right now, the Steelers fans are it's I'm not like, you know, standing up for my team or anything, but Packers fans are nothing like Steelers fans. I can tell you personal experience. Steelers fans, Chuck, as a rule, are assholes. Go ahead, Zach.
Chuck Knoll had 4, Bill Cowher had 3, and Tomlin's had none. So since 19, I didn't count these early ones. So Chuck Knoll actually had.
Okay, from their first Super Bowl.
Since Chuck Knoll had 3 losing seasons in his first 3 years.
Yeah.
After that, when they won the Super Bowl, or they went to the AFC title game in 72, lost to the perfect Dolphins, they've only had 7 losing seasons since 1972.
It seems like less than that.
So in 50 years.
But they had that stretch in the mid-80s where they weren't very good, and that was probably a lot of those. That was like between when Knoll was on his way out and Cowher came in.
Knoll, let's see, 80, what was the first one? 85, 86, and 88.
Yeah.
Were all,
yeah.
And then 91.
Yeah. And then Cowher's never,
and then Cowher and then Tomlin. And
Tomlin's never had one, right?
Tomlin's never had one.
Yeah. But they still want to run him out of town down there. Explain that to me. But anyway, so, what are the games that we have? We got, not gotten to yet. And the Steelers Chiefs, that was about what we expected, right?
Right. We were kind of touching on that. And then the other one is Eagles Bucks, which also wasn't really much of anything.
Eagle, what was that? The Madden meme? You've been matched up with an opponent above your skill level. Do you want to disconnect?
Well, right. That game's going on. Everyone's like, no, did we really need the seventh team in the playoffs this year?
Yeah.
But I was listening to Bill Simmons
about the Steelers too.
They were making some good arguments. Like if things break the other way, we've got the Chargers as the 7th seed as opposed to the Steelers.
Sure.
The NFC, it's a little tougher to make the case because you go from maybe the Eagles to the Saints. I don't know if that's really much of an upgrade.
Yeah, it's like Eagles, Saints, Vikings, I think were the other teams that were right there.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know that you're getting a whole lot better, but that Eagles team looked awful.
The whole thing was, you know, people came in like, oh, this is the number one rush offense in the league, and they got the Bucks snuffed that running game out, and then so then it was like Jalen Hurt. It was on Jalen Hurt to save the day, and no, that didn't happen.
I think we should have gone to Gardner Minshew. I really, and not because it would be funny, but because I think he would have given them a better chance. At that point, because it was clear that Hurts could not move when the Bucs shut down the run game, they had no passing game to go to the Eagles. They just didn't. And You can't have Jalen Hurts. I mean, you could, but he's only going to last about a quarter where you just keep going around the corner and eventually he's going to get lit up. And then you got to go to Gardner Minshew. So why not just do it and see if you can't kind of kickstart the passing game a little bit, but they never did. And what was it? 31-16 was the final. It was
31-15, and it was 31-0 entering the fourth.
Yeah, it was never that close ever. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's almost like a situation where it's like, did you go to the right neighborhood? Like where? How did you end up here? It's almost like it's like everyone showed up in Tampa, and the Bucks are walking around. All of a sudden, the Eagles come out of the tunnel, and they're like, whoa! What are these guys doing?
USFL is that way.
Excuse me, sir. This is a playoff game.
Professional football league.
See yourselves out, you know, it was just like a nice little 7-on-7 for Brady and the team to, you know, just kind of keep warm and stay ready for their next game. So let's. I was just looking at our picks here from last week. It's ironically the tables have sort of turned. What I've done is that I basically assigned a point for, and we still have obviously one game left, but I've assigned a point for each right selection. And
before we go on, Greg, can you just mute Greg or Gary in the chat, please? Thanks.
Okay. Sorry, Gary. No, I after all the beatings he's taken with Michigan from me, I don't have the heart. I'm sorry. Dude sat here and just got abuse heaped upon him and sat through it and said, I still respect you after that. I'm not going to say a word to him. He earned my undying respect with that, because he just took a beating and came right back and said, okay.
I'm joking, Gary. I hope for a good game in which the Rams win by 30 points. That's what I hope.
I wasn't joking about Michigan, dude. I'm just going to say. I'm kidding. Kidding.
Sorry. Continue, Andy.
That's all right. So Mike is in last currently.
Tables three.
He picked the Patriots, the Cowboys. Oof. And so that cost him some points.
Well, I was expecting evil to prevail. So
I also picked the Cowboys, but I had like an obligation to. So that's not who did should I be held against me.
Greg, you have picked. You're in the lead. Yeah, you have picked. Let's see. You picked the Bengals. You picked the Bills, the Bucks, the Chiefs, the 49ers. And if the Rams win tonight, it's a clean sweep.
Wow. Look at me go. Making a strong comeback after a rough regular season.
But we all had Rams. So we all had the Rams, Chiefs, and Bengals. So thanks to this stupid Monday night game, I'll probably just get the picks this week via text. Yeah. So
I don't know if this is a good idea. Why don't we just do three games on Saturday, three games on Sunday? Why do we have this Monday night game?
Money.
I just wanted to try it.
Yeah, but they could do the Monday night football on Saturday night, like they've done before. Like NBC had Sunday night football on Saturday afternoon. Like
I love going through the guide on the TV and it said football night in America at noon. That was pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, we'll have some. So what is the determination of this game as far as like if the Rams win, who would they play?
So win or lose, the winner of this game goes to Tampa.
Yeah. Tampa. Okay.
Yeah. Everything else is set except for
the Packers have the Niners right at home, and then
So Saturday is Bengals at Titans, and then Niners at Packers, and then Sunday is Rams, Cardinals at Buccaneers, and then Bills at Chiefs.
Okay.
Yeah, well, the Bengals keep winning. They might move the Super Bowl to Saturday just because they're the Bengals. Well, yeah, you know what? Saturday just because.
Well, it's like Bengals, Titans. That's, again, another perfect Totino's Pizza Bowl matchup.
Mm-hmm. So poor Bengals. Yeah. I mean, you're in the conference that has all the small markets, and you might be, not necessarily from size, but just the least interesting one of all of them. I'm going to say that. The Cincinnati Bengals, a loyal, disturbed fan base, but it's not very
disturbed.
Big. Yeah, well, we're all disturbed, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, do they have a big – I know in Ohio they don't. Now, I don't know, Kentucky and those rednecks over in Indiana and stuff. I don't know what they do, but here it's like once you get south of Columbus, it's kind of Bengals country, but everything north of that, Browns. All
I wouldn't say the entire AFC, Greg. I mean, we got Jacksonville to contend with.
Oh, I forgot about them.
I have been to Jacksonville, and it is a thoroughly unpleasant city.
The bridge is kind of cool.
Cincinnati, Indianapolis would probably be pretty small too.
Now that they don't have Peyton Manning anymore,
Well, not only that, but they couldn't even beat Jackson. Like we're all talking about, like, oh, the seventh seed. It's like all the Colts had to do was beat the fucking Jaguars, and they would have gotten it.
The Colts had winning in 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, against the Raiders and Jags. Yep.
All you had to do was go 500, you're in. And they couldn't do it.
They couldn't beat the Jags in Jacksonville on Clown Day. You know, I mean, it's just Clown Day. let me get your picks for the three games. Football. I want to get your picks for the three games that we do currently have, and then we'll figure it out probably this week. So, Bengals at Titans.
Ooh.
I go Bengals.
No, he beat me to it.
That's fine. There's no right or wrong answer.
The Titans, yes, in theory, they have a week off. Derrick Henry gets healthy. They come in. They beat the shit out of them. But I think the Bengals got some moxie. And
I agree with you there.
I think that time off is not as beneficial to the Titans as they think.
I think it's as beneficial to most teams as people think. Unless you're really banged up and injured. I don't know that having a week off after you've played, 17 out of the last 18 weeks? I don't know if it's the greatest idea. I can't quit my irrational confidence Titans at this point in the game. So I'm contractually bound to go with the Titans. But I like Zach's pick of the Bengals. I will say that.
Well, I'm looking at the Bengals, just their history here, and like I feel like they've lost to some pretty bad teams this year. I don't know.
The Bengals,
they lost to the Jets. They've, I guess,
well,
they've
lost yes.
the Chargers, 49ers.
They lost to the Bears by three. They lost to the Packers by three. They lost to the Jets by three. Lost to the Niners by three.
I'm going Bengals. I feel like they got some momentum. It's going to help carry them to at least.
I think the Titans are the better team, so I'm just going to go with them. I think the Titans are going to win this relatively painlessly.
Oh, okay. 49ers at Packers, outstanding uniform matchup.
Yes,
incredibly.
Packers.
Yeah, like the Niners, they're going to try to do the same thing they've done to pretty much every team down the stretch. Run the hell out of the ball, shorten the game, and you know, do that. But I just – Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than any of the other ones they've played in that stretch. So, Packers.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the 49ers just because it seems that the Packers have historically had a bit of trouble with the 49ers. I think that – And I think that, you know, Aaron Rodgers is the type of guy who would probably let the 49ers get into his head because they passed on him when he was drafted. And I think that instead of that being like a motivational factor where he just like focuses and tears them apart, I think it's just going to be like unbridled rage. I think the 49ers managed to pull this out. I'm going to go with the 49ers.
The Packers and the 49ers has been pretty even recently. I'm just looking over there since like 2012 or so. It's been pretty close. Gosh, I don't know. I don't want to pick against the Packers because I mean, I hate them. But I don't. It's hard to doubt them. But at the same time, the Packers do this too. They, you know what? I'm going to pick the Packers to win because I think they usually lose in the next round. They usually lose either in the conference.
Correct. Championship. They lose. So, they lose the NFC title game. Yeah.
So I'm going to doubt the Packers.
For any context that it matters, it'll be 16 degrees, supposedly,
on Saturday.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't even like watching football in that weather. And it's funny. I was watching one of the games, and we were talking about bar fights last week with Eric Bieniemy. And I had this moment. I went, you know what a football game is? It's like getting into a bar fight every 45 seconds. That's football. It really is. Especially if you're a lineman. It's like you're in a bar fight every 40 seconds. That's what it is. I thought, God, that would be a rough way to make a living. Having been in a few bar fights over the years, which when I was young and stupid, and it just hit me. It's like, man, that's these guys are amazing. So Packers, of course, I own the team. I can't really pick against them. I think I'm even not even allowed to, according to my stock agreement. So I have to take them. And they'll fuck me again like they always do.
Sorry, Greg.
Zach, did you make a pick?
Packers.
All right. Okay. So, Bills Chiefs, another great uniform matchup here. Wow.
Yeah, it is. As long as it's the Bills, well, the last time Chiefs at home were all red. Yeah, it's like ketchup bottles running around out there.
Yeah. Man. So these guys, of course, played in the AFC title game last year.
Yep.
They played early in the season when the Chiefs were not quite the Chiefs yet. And that was a 38-20 win for the Bills in Kansas City. But obviously a different team now than they were back then. That was week five?
I don't remember. Here's the thing to think about, too. Last year, weren't the Bills, like, they just come off putting a beat down on someone, if I remember. And they got to go play the Chiefs. And everybody's like, I don't know, the Bills, they can do the run thing to Josh Allen and –
Wasn't that the Bills' first win and playoff win in quite some time?
Yeah, who'd they beat? Was it Pittsburgh?
No, the Browns beat Pittsburgh.
Oh God, how can I forget that? Jeez, yeah, you're right. That just didn't register. I was like, this isn't really happening. I'm not even going to bother to waste the memory on it. But yeah, and then we thought
they beat Indy by 3 points in the wild card. Then they beat Baltimore, and then they lost at Kansas City, 38-24.
Yeah, I think the same thing's going to happen again this year. I love the way they played the Patriots on Saturday night. They looked fantastic, but they got to go to Arrowhead, and it's not like the Chiefs are the New England Patriots. They're pretty good. Their defense seems to be kind of getting its act together. So I'm taking the Chiefs in that one.
That's kind of where I'm at. The that is very much where I'm at. The game against the Patriots was very impressive, but I think the Patriots were overhyped, and I think that by and large they were not nearly as good as advertised, and we saw what happened. So I think what's going to happen is the Chiefs are going to put up a lot more of a fight, and I think that they're ultimately going to prevail because, you know, that offense is as explosive as always. So I think the Chiefs come out of it.
I think if this game's in Buffalo, I'd probably pick the Bills, but I'm mostly home field advantage because the Chiefs are good. Go ahead, Zach.
Yes, the Patriots are a little overhyped, but the Bills thoroughly dominated them in every facet.
Yeah.
I don't think we learned anything about the Chiefs with them beating the Steelers. Like, that's nothing
right
new. I'm going to go Bills.
Okay. Good.
I think of the two teams, they're certainly the more motivated to prove that you know, that they're as good, that Josh Allen can throw that deep ball. Like, you know, I'm going to go Bills.
Can I just ride the
underdog train in the AFC.
Can I just say how much it pisses me off every time I watch Josh Allen have a great game?
Oh,
yeah, you can go back. I've got the receipts for this. You can go back and listen to the basically a sports show. I think we were still doing the football show. You can listen to all of it. All I said was Josh Allen is the guy the Browns should pick. You should pick Josh Allen. Pick Josh Allen. He's the guy. Who'd they pick? Not Josh Allen. I'm just saying. Go ahead.
Well, they're sticking with Baker Mayfield for another season.
So. Yeah, it's not the worst move, but still, you could have had Josh Allen, you fucking morons.
Well, Josh Allen was coming out of like a really Wyoming or something. Like, it was not a – it was still
– he's out there playing at like 13,000 feet. You know, with no oxygen and snowing, and there's buffalo and horses and shit on the field. I think that's got to count for something, right?
Yeah, he had some awesome tape. Like, I loved watching his tape coming into the draft that year. But, yeah, well, we'll see. I'm going Bills. I think that
Tom Brady went to fucking Michigan and still managed to win 6 Super Bowls or 7 or however many it's been. So there you go.
I really hope the Bills travel to Kansas City for this game and somebody throws a dildo onto the Chiefs field. Like, you gotta travel that. You know,
I think the nice thing was a dildo last year or was it before that? It was against the Patriots.
A couple years ago, yeah.
It was when Brady was still playing for the Patriots because it said Brady's sex toy on it.
Yeah. You gotta respect the fan base that has a running bit that isn't just a thing we do every game, but they wait for their moment. I like that. All right, where are we at? Is that it?
Do we want to pick contingencies for Bucks, Rams, or Bucks cards?
Sure. So we can let's say it's Rams at Bucks, and then we can do one for the cards.
So if it's Rams. Los Angeles Rams.
the Los Angeles Rams. Okay.
The Los Angeles Football Rams. Yeah.
Mike, I assume you will go Bucks.
Yeah, I'm going to go Bucks. The Rams kicked their ass in the regular season, but funny thing about that is that last season the Saints kicked the Bucks' ass in the regular season, and the Bucks end up winning in the playoffs. So I think I believe in Tom, and I'm picking the Bucks over the Rams if that's what it ends up being.
Whatever, Ken Anderson's still better. I if it's the Rams, I'm going with the Rams. The Bucks, I'm with you, Mike, but the Bucks have a lot of injuries right now. I mean, a lot. So healthy, if both teams are at peak capacity. Yeah,
losing your left tackle against Aaron Donald, Von Miller, Leonard Floyd.
Yeah. That offensive line, once Once they started having trouble with the offensive line, you saw Philadelphia sack Brady, what, three or four times? And that's the Eagles. They were like a USFL team that just stumbled into the wrong stadium. So you put them up against that Rams defense, it's going to be a little tougher if the injuries hold the way they have right now. So I'm going to take the Rams. If it's the Cardinals, I'm taking the Bucks.
Say, is there anyone that'll pick the Cardinals?
No.
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 Okay. I will be the weird one, and I will choose the Cardinals if they...
They need to fix their fucking uniforms is what they need to do.
Yeah, man. How overdue are they? They're approaching Bengals territory where they've had these for so long. And well, trash.
You notice, like, there was a whole, like, rash of mid-2000s uniform redesigns that were all terrible, and they've all been replaced now except the Cardinals. They're still hanging on to theirs.
And Cardinals and the Broncos, really. But
yeah. But they, I consider the Broncos like their own thing because they kind of started it a few years
earlier. That was late 90s.
Yeah. But the you would think that it's one of those things where, like, oh, you have a new age of success and quarterback and player coming into your team. That's when you change the look to work with the forward movement of the franchise. And
well, Kyler Murray has thoughts on this.
He's actually said he wants to go back to the Arizona flag jerseys, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I'd be fine by me, dude. They had some of the best looks back in the day when they were just wearing the maroon, or I guess it'd be Cardinal jersey, and they looked great. And now they've got a great helmet and a fuck all stupid uniform to go with it. It's like, you got to fix that. And my fear,
that's the weird thing, is that they've kept the classic helmet.
Yeah, and my fear is
including gray face mask.
Yeah, my fear is that they will fix the uniform and fuck the helmet up, because that's just what Nike would do, just to piss me off.
Oh, I can see that the Rams are making the proper choice and are wearing the gold pants with the
jerseys. Good.
Yeah.
Still holding out hope for bone pewter next week, though.
Oh, yeah. No, like the team's active. Like if the Rams win, like the Rams and the Bucks are like, we must respect our blood pact.
No one with an alternate look this week, right? Everybody wear their straight up homer. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if is that a rule or what?
I think you're allowed.
No, you have to designate what you're going to wear, I think, is the thing.
Oh, okay. Because
I remember back when the Chargers were wearing navy as their primary, they broke out powder blue in the playoffs. And the whole thing was like, oh, well, they had to designate this as their primary dark uniform for the playoffs. But of course, they got eliminated right after, so we never saw it again. Because, of course. But yeah, I think you are allowed to wear an alternate, but like you've got to commit to it for the playoff run.
Okay,
correct.
Yeah, makes sense.
There's an Instagram account that's called Cards Need New Uniforms. It's dedicated entirely. It's nothing but pictures of Cardinals concept and other uniforms. It's kind of interesting. And Kyler Murray actually shared those Cardinals concepts to his story or whatever. So. But and it's a classic one too, so it's not like some bullshit.
But yeah, the Cardinals need new uniforms. But like, if it's somehow Cardinals Bucks, I'm taking the Bucks. But I legitimately don't see a way that this team that they get past the Rams, because this team started off like blazing hot, but they really faltered down the stretch. And the last time these two teams played, the Rams, you know, came out on top. I don't see like nothing about the trajectory of this Cardinals team tells me that they're going to do much of anything.
Yep.
This postseason.
I agree.
Well, I hope we're all right in 3 hours' time.
The only thing that can fuck things up for the Rams is if Odell Beckham Jr. keeps trying to catch passes that weren't intended to him.
Well, the problem is, and even Gary said it, live by Matt Stafford, die by Matt Stafford, and that's really my only
Gary would know. Concern. Yeah, right. Gary would know. He's been a Lions fan for a long time.
I know.
We got anything else, or should we get out early so Zach can watch the entire game?
I mean, you guys can keep going.
No, I'd love to watch the game myself. This is actually...
Well, we've got quite a Manning cast tonight. It's going to be the Mannings and the Rock.
I just want to throw this out there really quick. Let's move Monday Night Football to Nickelodeon, because ESPN's, they can't get it fucking straight, so just take it away from them. Let's move Monday Night Football to Nickelodeon, and we'll have the Manning cast and the slime and SpongeBob on the goal. You can put any face you want on the goalpost. I think it would be funny if we had like an adult version and a kid's version of the face on the goalpost. That would be really funny.
I really liked So what I found hilarious was when I tuned into the Nickelodeon game, I haven't watched any Nick programming in fucking ever. And so I had no idea who these people were. Like, I assume these are personalities on Nickelodeon that, you know, kids today would probably be aware of.
One of the announcers is from CBS's pregame, isn't he?
One of them is, but like there are two Nick people.
Like a Nick kid on the sidelines and a Nick kid.
Young Dylan or whatever his name was.
Young Dylan. I liked
him. He was great.
I didn't know who any of these people were, but I found their commentary immensely more entertaining than whatever the hell I would have gotten also, on PBS.
Good job, Nickelodeon, for actually bringing a slime tank this year instead of just like.
Mm-hmm. And can we just for really quick. Drew Brees was awful, just awful. I'm sorry, but that dude was like, I listened to Mike Tirico a couple times ask him a question, like trying to get him to. Yeah, at one point he goes, "Well, Drew, do they do that because of the outside pressure?" Yeah, I suppose. I was like, "Oh man, he was awful, just terrible."
Question: do you guys want to do a unique thing? I mean, Zach may want to recuse himself. Would this hang out and watch the game here in a new.
I was going to ask you guys. Actually, I was going to ask you guys when I saw that. Was it Gary put that up there? I don't know if I want to do it tonight, but I was going to ask you guys. Do we want to take like a Saturday afternoon game and do like a live? We'll watch it and just comment on it as we go.
I'm down.
Yeah, sure.
All right. So what's the Totino's game next week? Well, it should be the fucking Packers. I'll have to sit and deal with you.
No, that's your Bengals Titans.
Well, that might be fun. You guys want to do that? Let me ask the guys, listeners, you guys who got Mike and Gary and Dennis out there, if we did a live like Bass, I don't know, commentary director's track on the playoff game next Saturday, would you guys tune in on a Saturday afternoon? They're not even fucking listening. Look at this. You guys want to all give a shit all the time? Hello.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a delay.
Never mind. My bad.
As long as we linked it in the places, a couple people would jump.
I thought about that last week, but by the time I thought of it, it was too late to get it going. So I'd love to do this. Gary says he does. Yeah. Well, all right. So you guys want to do the Saturday Titans Bengals? Because that way we're not. I mean, I don't think any of us have any real vested interest in that one, and it'll be fun. Mm-hmm. We can make fun of the uniforms, and it's up to you guys. Or we can do.
No, I'd be okay with that. Plus. Games.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, I'd be down.
Okay. Yeah, because that way we can kind of, you know, tonight's just kind of short notice and nobody knows we're doing it. And, you know, so.
Sure.
And I'm a nervous wreck.
Yeah. I want
Zach. I need a beer and food.
I want all four of us to be like involved in it too. So, if we're going to wrap it up real quick, I'll just tell everybody that next Saturday we will do a live director's commentary, Bass. Play-by-play, I guess, of the Bengals-Titans game at, what time does it start, 4? 4:30?
3:30. Something like that. 3:30 Central.
We'll put all the information up on the Twitter feed and the Discord.
1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern.
Now you're getting me confused.
And Omaha Beef, listen up, this could be you.
Yeah, and Omaha Beef, this is an audition for what we could do for you.
Well, this could be us, Omaha Beef, but you plan.
So we'll do that. I think it'll be fun. I've been meaning to bring this up, and I'm glad, Gary, thank you for bringing that up because I kept forgetting to do it. So I would love to do that. I think it would be fun. And if it sucks, we'll just stop, you know, but it should be, we can kind of,
Bye.
You know what? Is it the second quarter already? I'm bored.
Yeah. This isn't working. No one's listening. So fuck off. We're done. You would expect it to go any other way with us, but we'll do it. It'll be great. And we can tweet through it. We'll set up a whole thing. We've got a whole week to get ready. We'll like tweet and we'll talk and we'll we can take breaks and it'll be fun. I think it'll be a good time.
What network's broadcasting that, just out of curiosity?
Fucking yes, should be Nickelodeon, but that was the one I thought about like Thursday. I thought, man, it'd be great if we could do like live commentary of the Nick game, but then I realized we'd never get it together in time. So yeah,
it's CBS. Good this week.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, it's CBS. Well, all right.
Time to go.
Okay. Call so anyway, okay.
Zach's out. We are going to call it a night.
Go Rams. Ram it.
Yeah, go Rams. I think we all picked the Rams, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So go Rams and follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports. We'll give you all the information on the Bass Super Bowl. Or what did you call it, Gary? Hold on a minute. Fuck, I screwed up.
Bass Big Game Spectacular.
Bass Big Game Spectacular. We'll give you all the information on that on the Twitter feed at Basically Sports, in the Discord, on the boards, on Facebook, anywhere that's out there. So check out all that. Subscribe via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, the YouTubes, and anywhere else fine podcasting is sold. And do we have any more information I have to pass along before I hit the close here?
Not for me. That's it.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys on Saturday at around. Oh, we should start a little early too, I guess. Right?
Like 3 o'clock, our central. Okay,
we'll get the time. Just pay attention to all of our social media feeds, and we'll get all the shit out there for you, and it'll be a good time. So we'll see you Saturday.
Sounds good.
Latest.
All right.